present the news quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
Too much. All that spontaneous applause. Hello and welcome again to the News Quiz. We're kicking off the new series at the Pleasant Theatre on the Edinburgh Fringe. And before we meet the teams, here's an item from CFAX, read by Charlotte Green.
Film, Alice Adams. Drama about a social-climbing, small-town girl who finds love in an unlikely form with Katharine Hepburn.
Thank you, Michael DeVere of Leeds, for sending us that. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Francis Ween and Craig Ferguson. Facing them, on my left, Alan Corran and Roy Hattersley. Before we start round one, here's a cutting from the Sunday Times.
Ulrika Johnson, 26, presents LWT's Gladiators. In 1990, she married John Turnbull, a cameraman, and after a split last summer, they're expecting their first baby.
Francis, you're sitting in the Richard Ingram's memorial chair.
That means I don't have to answer any questions correctly.
Well, no, try to improve on form. Your first question is this. Who took action and went for a nap this week?
This must be somebody called Nap. Who is this person? I think my colleague here, who has a rather better Scottish accent, might be able to do it. But on the other hand, maybe not.
Well, that's because I am Jimmy Nap. And, I don't know why. I don't know anything about this question other than I can do Sean Connery better than Jimmy Nap.
Let's assume that, Sean, Sean Connery has brought everybody out on strike.
All right, everybody out on strike. Right away. No trains won't be running this week.
There was a rail strike this week.
It took place
for 48 hours, I believe.
Yep.
It's over, and there's going to be another one on Monday. There's going to be another one the week after that, and so it goes on.
That's right.
Cheery, isn't it?
Anyway, this is the rail strike that entered its 10th week. For 2 or 3 days a week, British Rail have managed to run just a third of trains to an unpredictable timetable, and the service on strike days has been even worse. After failing to get the two sides to negotiate, Transport Secretary John McGregor was removed from his job because he couldn't sort out his acas from his elbow. It's 2 out of 2. Meanwhile, the RMT leader, Jimmy Knapp, has been trying to get his message across without much success and now spends his days watching videos of Rab C. Nesbitt.
But elocution lessons, eh?
My goodness, I thought I was in Scotland there.
Craig, your question now. Who were a bit sheepish about taking a flyer?
Ah, yes. It's British Airways, isn't it?
That's right.
They had sheep on their planes. And they weren't flying the planes. They were just sitting there ordering the drinks and at taxpayers' expense. And they obviously decided to fly British Airways instead of Virgin. And this was entirely their own decision. They weren't coerced into this. No one went up to the sheep and said, come on, fly British Airways instead. We'll give you a discount, maybe a free haircut or shear or whatever it is. So it was British Airways were flying sheep to Saudi Arabia.
That's right.
Where the sheep were happily slaughtered.
Get your points for that. This is the news that British Airways have been carrying live sheep on passenger flights. This was initially some worry about the smell and the dirt, but the sheep soon got used to it. The practice came to light when passengers noticed the stewardess offering tea, coffee, peanuts, grass. Apparently BA carry all sorts of livestock, so it's true, pigs can fly after all. Roy, your question. Who's trying to save face but may not save grace?
Attend your mind. I know there's anybody. The entire audience knows a local Edinburgh story.
But your job is always to tell me surreptitiously.
Well, I won't tell you surreptitiously. It's about the Three Graces.
Oh, of course.
That great musical, like.
And that man from Scotland.
Crazy Fields.
That
sang.
Man down the road who put his foot in it. You see, I knew all along, but being in Scotland, I didn't want to embarrass the director of the National Gallery of Scotland. I didn't want to say he'd made a complete idiot of himself last week by saying that Mr. Paul Getty, the 147th, had made the offer of £1 million because he didn't like his dad.
That's right.
We all know that Mr. Getty did like his dad.
Yes.
And therefore was giving the £1 million because he's a philanthropist.
That's right.
What are you going to do with your slice of Getty's money, then? My understanding is that he hated his father. I'm backing Tim Clifford all the way. He runs a great gallery.
And you were at his party last night.
And I was at his party last night.
Dressed as a sheep. You see, that's called corruption, but it's best not to speak of it.
Oh, really? I didn't know politicians ever let the word corruption slip past their...
It's all about the three graces, two getters and one flonker. The sculpture may or may not go to the Getty Museum in America, but meanwhile, Tim Clifford is looking for a replacement attraction featuring three statuesque females evoking the essence of a long bygone age. He's after a donation of a tenner because he's hoping to get the Beverly Sisters. Alan, here's a piece of music for you.
All my dreams never came true somehow, but things are gonna be different now.
That was My Ship Is Coming In by the Walker Brothers. Your question is, Alan, where did the net effect land in hot water, if you get my...
Oh, it's not all that. It's not the tuna wars.
It is.
Oh, that's a heartbreaking story. I mean, it's another one about unfortunate civilians, innocent people trapped in a war over borders, territories, rights, equipment and all the rest of it. And these poor tuna are being chopped up in order to save the dolphin, as far as I can see, just because the dolphin is smarter than they are. If the dolphin wasn't smarter than they are, it will be the tuna that will be appearing in Cabaret at Marine World, and the dolphins will be appearing in brine up at Tesco's. But because of all this, and because we eat these unfortunate animals, and we're allowed to eat them, there is a war between us and the Spaniards.
That's right.
And that's it, is it?
Barry, you have to remember that it was Roy Hattersley who lost the Cod War for us in the last Labour government.
Really?
Oh, no, really.
Was it the last Labour government, do you think? I merely ask. Being neutral. Wello.
It's okay, we're going to win now, I'm going.
That figures, yes. This is the continuing saga of the tuna wars. The Royal Navy have been out picking up Spanish sailors and examining their fish nets. That's nothing to do with the tuna wars, it's just a bit of malicious gossip. The Navy was dispatched to ensure that the usual British standards of fair play were enforced, so they immediately arrested as many innocent vessels as they could find and sent them back to port. Then a team from Greenpeace joined in to see what they could catch in the Mediterranean. It was hepatitis. And the scores at the end of round one are, as is always on the news quiz, 4-4. Well done, chap. We start round two with this, heard on the PM programme, sent to us by Miss J. Truin of Norfolk.
After the Cornish boats had their nets checked, Melvin Mountjoy of the Newlyn Boat Owners Association said, "We've heard their complaints about the use of drift nets all before, and they just don't hold water."
Aye, thank you all. Francis, who made a case for making a bomb out of making a bomb?
Well, it could be these people who import little tiny bits of
sheep.
Little
bits
live,
of sheep.
It's live, and it's radioactive, and it's a Chernobyl sheep that was imported from the Soviet Union to Germany and had the capacity to blow up the whole of Western Europe, I think.
Right.
But luckily it was seized by alert customs officers who heard it buying a bit, and there's now a big Interpol alert to stop this happening again.
Yes, they could have wiped out our broth.
Not a problem, really, is it?
I don't want to be arbrothist in this. Absolutely right. This was the seizure by customs at Munich Airport of enough plutonium to make 5 nuclear bombs. 3 passengers from Russia were arrested after going through the Green Channel with 200 Rothmans, a bottle of whiskey and 500 grams of weapons-grade plutonium-239. When the duty-free allowance is only 400 grams. The components are being sent to despotic Middle East leaders to make weapons of mass destruction. The British government has lodged a formal protest. We can't have the Russians muscling in on our markets like that. Craig, where did they tune in, turn on and drop in?
Oh, it was the second time they did it.
Aye.
It was Woodstock 2,
aye,
which is the son of the little bird that's in Charlie Brown, isn't it? And that's a little bird that was in Charlie Brown that took a lot of drugs in the 60s, and Jimi Hendrix was there, I think.
Yes.
Maybe that's not the answer, but I took a lot of drugs in the 60s.
Oh, well,
so I don't really know.
You're absolutely right, Craig. It's Woodstock 94, the festival which proved that you can lead a hippie to water, but you can't make him wash. The show featured aging performers like Bob Dylan, who was surrounded by screaming groupies and helped across the road. The organisers created rock history by being the first people to turn down the Rolling Stones for being too young. Roy, will you have a listen to this? Drive My Car, and the question is, who's lording it by driving back onto the straight and narrow?
It must be the Marquess of Blandford.
Ah.
Who was one of two peers this week, the Marquess of Blandford and the Bristol. It's nice to incriminate as many of them as possible, the answer to one question. Blandford drove off in a souped-up Ford, and Bristol was caught with some sort of illegal substance after he'd been returned from prison for having some sort of illegal substance.
No, Blandford's got his job.
No, he's got a motor car.
No, he's been given the motor car that goes with the job.
It's still a Ford. And it's humiliating for the son of a peer to have a Ford. I'm sure you have a Ford, but it's not
like... It gets more humiliating than that. It's actually a Ford Cosworth that does 150 miles an hour.
That's humiliating.
Which Blandford does without even getting out of bed. And as a result of all these substances, he's had 12 driving offences, so they've given him a job with a motor company as a PR man. Carlos the Jackal will be modelling sunglasses next week.
Well, we have got it, haven't we? I mean, we have got the answer.
Is that?
Oh, yes. This is the Marquess of Blandford, the aristocratic drug addict with 12 motoring offences, who's been given a job in public relations for a car tuning firm. So just don't go in and ask for a decoke. Blandford, who recently pleaded guilty to deception and forgery, was said by his new employer to have submitted one of the best CVs they'd ever seen. We're not too sure whose it was, but it looked great. Alan.
What?
I just want to check you're still with us. Your question, why won't a Margaret marry any old Tom, Dick or Harry?
This was an extraordinary story. It's the result of a survey into names, class and all the rest that sociologists with nothing better to do while away their time. And it turns out that the most unpopular women in the world are called Margaret. This astonished me because I don't know a single unpopular Margaret. Do you, Roy? No. I can't think of a single woman who's... But if you're Margaret, you're unlikely to marry anybody called anything much. And Susan is the most popular person. If you're Susan, you can marry anybody you'd like. Isn't that good?
Wonderful. I mean, it's the best news I've heard tonight.
Mm. My middle name's Susan.
What are you doing after the show?
Maybe I'll spot a dinner. What do you think?
You can't be with us, Craig, because Roy and I come very low down this list because it was about class. And about the lowest are Alan, Roy and Keith. Do you see that? Horrifying.
Are we lower than Darren?
Well, I think Columbus is awfully good. This is the survey that revealed people's lives are largely dictated by their names. If your name is Margaret or William, you're quite likely to remain single. If it's Charles, Andrew or Edward, it's a racing certainty. It says here, women called Julie are most likely to live with a male partner, as indeed are men called Julie. Well, amazingly, we've come to the end of a second round and the scores are still tied at 8-all. Well done. Craig, it's your turn for a slippery piece of music.
To save his life, call his wife in. Nothing to say, but what a day. How's your boy been? Nothing. nothing to do, it's up to you. I've got nothing to say, but it's okay.
Well, that was The Beatles, and that was Good Morning. And your question is, Craig, whose new book is Something to Crow About?
Now, isn't it that Corky the Cockerel?
That's right.
Corky the Cockerel.
Good heavens, that's well thought.
Corky the Cockerel, yes. who was sued for waking someone up.
That's right.
It's a nice idea. Postman will be soon sued for delivering letters. And
not round our way, they won't.
It's something to do with the person that got woken up by Corky the Cockerel has written a book about how terrible it was to be woken up by Corky the Cockerel, and they're starting encounter groups where they get together and have a group hug to get over the fact they were woken up by a cockerel and how it affected their childhood, and how they had to go to Los Angeles and all be nice to each other and hug each other and something like that. Isn't it?
That's right, yes, yes. Absolutely right. This is the return of our old favourite, Corky the Cockerel. Neighbour John Richens won a court case over Corky's early morning crow after complaining he didn't like being woken up at 3 a.m. by a great big chicken. He's now...
That happened to me in the 60s.
Oh, really? Did it? I can't remember that far back. However, he's writing a book of the inside story published by Paxo... which claims he's suffering post-traumatic stress disorder similar to Gulf War veterans. That's assuming that Corky learned to fly a MiG-26 fighter. Oh, dear me. Right. Your question now. Who had truck with a Whitehall fuss?
Yes. This is to do with lorries with wheels and more wheels than usual.
No, it isn't.
Well, the chairman said it is. The chairman gave me a thumb.
It's to do with the lorry. Go
on. He said it's about more wheels than usual. He's going to be into 44-ton trucks before you know where you are. He's not going to be a man who'd never been to London before.
And got blown up outside Whitehall.
That's right.
And he said, after he got back, having parked there, that he'd never been to London before, he was surprised to find it van in ruins, and he suspected that when he got back to the depot, they'd sack him.
Do you know when he saw the truck had been exploded, he said something that rhymed with truck as well?
Hard luck. You have to be quick on this programme, I'll tell you that.
It was a double yellow line, of course.
Of course.
I think clamping's too good for him, don't you?
This is truck driver Dennis Wadsworth, who ran out of fuel near Downing Street and came back to find his lorry had been blown up on the first day of his new job. Luckily, he's covered for third-party fire and Semtex. At first, he thought it was the work of the provisional wing of the Hedgehog Preservation Front. Then he found it had been blown up by the police, who thought it might be a 7.5-ton bomb, which is a bit like burning your house down just in case you've got an unsafe domestic appliance. Alan, your question now. Whose wedding was a thriller?
Is he not Elvis and Jackson?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Well, apparently, this man...
It would seem.
His major nanny figure and childminder has... understood to have begun to want manufacturing children of his own with Elvis Presley, I think.
Yes.
Discovered by Sunday Sport. Michael Jackson has found Elvis Presley on the moon and has gone through a form of marriage with him. But I don't think it's a real marriage. I mean, I saw something in one of the major papers. I think the Church Times said, this is all a farce.
Is Michael Jackson and his new bride, Lisa Marie Presley, who are currently enjoying their honeymoon, it's claimed that Lisa Marie is pregnant and Michael is hoping for a boy. You're way ahead of me, so I shan't say it. However, legal experts have questioned the validity of the marriage ceremony, especially since Miss Presley was given away by her father. And the scores at the end of round 3 are amazingly still tied at 12-all. They're brilliant today. Before we start the final round, here's some news from The Independent.
Police called to a 2 a.m. disturbance at a disused hospital in Chippenham, Wiltshire, found environmentalists playing Des O'Connor music as a humane method of encouraging a colony of bats to move so the building... so the building could be redeveloped.
Cruel and inhuman. But thank you, Jane Hardy of Wyndham in Norfolk, for sending us that. Francis, your time for a bit of music. Have a listen to this.
I'm the urban spaceman, baby. I'm making out.
Neil Innes, or the Seventh Python, as he's sometimes known. What concrete is boldly going where no concrete has gone before?
This is the moment at which we lose the programme, because...
No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Lose the concrete. You can do
which it. Which concrete is boldly going where no concrete... And it's something to do with urban space. It's no good going...
it's the phlegm again. It's got the phlegm, Governor.
I can go... You got, as well, Sean Connery.
Is Sean Connery involved in this story?
No, perhaps? No, not necessarily.
Don't you think we ought to put them out of their misery?
No, don't
shoot them. Craig may very well know this.
All right, I have
like
to block
you. Greyhound in the slips, this one.
I don't know the answer. I just offered to put them out of their misery.
Okay, let's have the answer, Alan.
Well, I think this is an Irish space shot. They're going to... NASA. NASA are going to put four Irishmen... Two bags of Portland cement and a bag of sand in space. They're going to build bollards on the moon. This is the NASA concrete mixer in space. My God, when I think of all the Dandare stuff I used to read, I thought there'd be blokes with green heads, and it's nothing to do with that. It's about putting men up there with shovels, and it really is very mundane. You wouldn't want to go there, space, would you? It'd be a bloody contraflow system next to
It's NASA's plan to mix concrete in space. The astronaut builders have been specially selected by their ability to read the Daily Star in weightless condition. Astronomers believe the presence of builders in space could lead to the discovery of a couple of new moons. I think I have a rim shot there, and I'd say... Roy, whose face was shrouded in mystery?
It's a Turin.
It is Turin.
And it's a question about whether the Turin Shroud was really produced by Saint Veronica doing whatever she did, or whether it was Leonardo da Vinci painting himself. I myself think this is another one of the Enoch Powell theories, who, as you know, says that Christ was not crucified but was stoned to death by Pakistani and West Indian immigrants. Confirming the view that somebody was stoned, probably Enoch Powell. But it's Leonardo da Vinci.
Anyway, it's the claim that the Turin Shroud was the work of Leonardo da Vinci. Researchers believe the Shroud came into existence as Leonardo strove to invent the passport photograph. And that is why it looks nothing like it. Alan, who parked in at the deep end?
This woman got into a Datsun Sunny, selected a gear from the many available. Went through these elegant patio doors, I believe they're called. At least they are when people come round and try to sell me them. Or went through a pair of Jehovah's Witnesses, or something like that. Anyway, she went through these patio doors, into a swimming pool, in at the deep end, splash. There was Edith and her mate. And these two old biddies were going down by the stern, singing Abide With Me. And the householder, with great presence of mind, pushed them to the shallow end. I personally... Now, I can't say that. They're nice old people. They're not... Not nearly enough silly old ladies driving in the middle of the road for me. I think there's many more of them return to the community in bigger cars like the Marquis of Blandford. I think they ought to give 150 miles an hour Ford Cosworth. She could have done three houses and Wembley Stadium before they'd stopped her. Well, that's who it was.
Quite right. This is pensioner Edith Gladwin, who managed to drive her car through a garden fence, across a patio and into a swimming pool. Luckily, her car emerged unscathed, apart from a verruca on the front tyre. Mrs. Gladwin... Mrs. Gladwin was rescued by a Spanish fisherman who promptly threw her back after measuring her. Before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the teams have brought along. Francis, have you brought a cutting for us?
Yes, this is from the London Evening Standard a couple of weeks ago. It's headed Croc Monsieur, by the way, which is rather a good headline for the story that follows. Australian chef Robert Minahan, 21, who specialises in crocodile cuisine... found himself on the wrong side of a menu when a 6-foot crocodile tried to eat him while he was swimming in a river south of Darwin. "It feels strange to be on the other end of the food chain," he said.
Very good. You get a bonus for your accent. Anyway, Craig, have you brought something for us?
Yes, I've got something from the Europa Times.
Oh.
Which is my favourite newspaper.
Good paper.
Yes, lovely. It's from a story from Jerusalem in Israel. So a woman threw a cockroach into the toilet, and when it wouldn't drown, sprayed it liberally with insecticide. Later, her husband dropped a lit cigarette into the toilet and had to be rushed to hospital when sparks ignited the pesticide, seriously scorching his sensitive parts. Worse was to follow. The injured husband later suffered a broken pelvis and ribs when paramedics, reportedly in fits of laughter, dropped the stretcher while carrying him downstairs.
Oh, I like one with a happy ending. Roy, what have you brought for us?
This is from the Brentford, Chiswick and Isleworth Times. It's another sort of Edith Gladwin story, because I'm obsessed with the thought of old ladies in water. A fisherman plunged into the River Thames and pulled a woman from the car moments before it sunk to the bottom of the river. I think, he said, she must have been in shock, because when I prized open the sunroof, the first thing she did was to offer me a packet of crisps.
Alan.
I don't know why all you lot fiddle around with daft local papers when there's such good stuff in the Daily Telegraph. This is from the Daily Telegraph on Tuesday. A pilot was forced to crash land his light aircraft at Henstridge Airfield in Somerset when his joystick became entangled in his wife's skirt.
Headline
says frocks away. I don't think he's
much. Let's look at the final scores, which are quite interesting but not unusual, because Francis and Craig have got a brilliant 14, but Alan and Roy have leapt into the lead with 17, and this week's winners. Well done, gentlemen. Before we leave you, here's a cutting from the Times, sent in by Mrs. C. Snowden of Cambridge.
Jordan Lazelle of Hailing Island, Hampshire, was rushed to hospital last night after he kissed his pet scorpion Twiggy goodnight and was stung on the tongue. "I've kissed Twiggy goodnight hundreds of times without any problem," Mr. Lazelle said. Obviously, he wasn't in the mood.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Corran, Francis Ween, Roy Hattersley and Craig Ferguson. The chairman was Barry Took and the news was read by me, Charlotte Green. The programme was written by Ian Pattinson and Robert Fraser Steele. The producer was Alan Evans. We present the news quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
Hello and welcome once again to the news quiz. Alas, the last in the present series. We start with an advertisement from the pet section of Warwick Y, read by Charlotte Green. And I suspect a misprint.
Cad, male, neutered, 5 years, good with toddlers.